Yeah, Psalm 81, we'll read verses 1 to 4. It says, "Sing aloud to Elohim our strength. Make a joyful noise to the Elohim of Jacob. Raise a song and bring here the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the Elohim of Jacob." So Yahweh has commanded that we blow the trumpet at the new moon, which is what we just did. We had Mac blow the shofar because it's commanded that we do so. Now, if you turn over to Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Make yourself two trumpets of silver of beaten work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for the calling of the congregation and for the journeying of the camp." It says, "And when they shall blow them, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the door of the tent of meeting." Now drop down to verse 7. It says, "But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and they shall be to you for a statute forever throughout your generation." So this is something that we're supposed to do every new moon. "And when you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall be saved from the enemy." So when we're faithful to Almighty Yahweh in doing this, and we blow the trumpet when Satan's attacking, okay, when the adversary is attacking, then Yahweh is going to remember us, and we're going to be saved from our enemy. It says in verse 10, "Also in the day of your gladness, and in your set feast, and in the beginning of your months," which is the new moon, "you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." So Yahweh commands us to remember by blowing the trumpet. See? And if we do what Yahweh commands us to do, we receive a blessing. That's just like tithing and all of the rest of the things that he's commanded us to do. Turn over to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 1, it says, "Yahweh, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob." And we know Jacob is synonymous for Israel. "You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned yourself from the fierceness of your anger. Turn us, O Elohim, of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your anger to all generations? Will you not quicken us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Yahweh, and grant us your salvation." And we just saw in Numbers 10 that when we blow the trumpet, you know, because the enemy is attacking, Yahweh is going to save his people. He's going to give us that salvation that we're seeking. "I will hear what El Yahweh will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Yahweh wants us to be saved. He wants the people that fear him, that trust him enough to keep his covenant, to do the things that he tells us to do. And this is one of the reasons we follow the scriptures by the letter. We try to be faithful in everything Yahweh tells us to do. It says, "Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." And we know righteousness is the keeping of the commandment. And I don't care what the other people say in the world, oh, you know, we're living strictly in grace. We don't have to keep commandments. That's not true. You know, it's so easy for people to jump off the train or, you know, to drop this part of the covenant or say, well, I no longer want to do this. But mercy and truth have met together. And one of the things that you'll see in this ministry is that we do because the truth of Yahweh has been manifested to us. And we have to show mercy to everyone we come in contact with. You know, we talk about love. That's one of the things that Yahshua is looking for among the brethren, love among the brethren. Not only when we're down, like Carol is sick right now. I mean, not really sick, but injured. She had surgery today, and, you know, we're praying for her speedy recovery. But it doesn't matter. I mean, some of the people that I met on this trip, I ended up praying for. And I know that it was of Yahweh for me to be in this position, I mean, where I was at the time, to meet the people that I met and to pray for the ones that I prayed for. So we'll see what fruit Yahweh gives. But mercy and truth have met together. And righteousness, which is the keeping of the commandments, and peace has kissed each other. So we believe in being at peace with all men. We're not out here trying to fight anybody. People want to go their own way. We let them go their own way. We want them to understand what the truth is. But, you know, we see this on a regular basis. People get this little glimmer, oh, I got some new knowledge. I have this. And I'm talking about this lunar Sabbath and all this other kind of foolish doctrine. But you know what? We still have to love them. And that's what we try to do. We don't try to browbeat them. We don't try to, you know, if you believe something that's contrary to the scriptures, our job is to try to correct you, to teach you, but in love. And that's it. We don't try to hit people over the head with a hammer. You know, it's up to them to make the decision to change, you know, if their eyes are open. And I was talking to some of the people on this trip about David's sin with Bathsheba, you know, whether it was willful or not. And I had already discussed this with the young people here, and some said yes. One or two said no. And people judge this situation and judge what they see here in the scriptures about David with where they are, see, not from a spiritual standpoint, but from where they are carnally. Because when you look at it, and yes, he saw the naked woman or the woman bathing on the rooftop of her house, and he could have turned away, but, you know, it escalated as he inquired of her, had her brought to him. This is the king, had relations with this woman, you know, and all of that was evil, it was sin, okay? But the thing is, as a king writing the law, he knew better, because when the prophet came to him, Nathan, and gave him that little parable, and he says, you are the man. David immediately recognized what his sin was, but at the time he was going through it, doing it, he didn't see it, couldn't see it. And I believe that happens very, very often with people who are in sin. They are blind to it. They cannot see it until somebody brings it to their attention and they can recognize. Because I see it just too often. And it happens to too many people that we love and that we, you know, are involved with. But our job, you know, is not to beat them over the head with it. We're not the judge. All we do is bring the scriptures to light. So if they accept it, fine, you know, and hopefully they will repent and make the change in their life. But we're going to do what Yahweh tells us to do. And that's why it's important, you know, for us who believe that we're walking in truth, to share that truth with the people we come in contact with, because Yahweh has it out there. He's calling the people. We don't know who he's calling until they, you know, arrive. You know, this whole thing with the Mobile Brethren and the other the family from Mississippi, the husband and wife that wanted to come to Passover. You know, that was all set up. And even though it was from Tabernacles, it just happened from Tabernacles to Passover. So between Tabernacles and Passover, Satan got in and shut down and took away Brethren because, you know, there was an issue there. Now, these people wanted to come for Passover, and it became an issue. I'm saying the 501c3 is this smoke, because that was an issue came around with YPTC long before, and, you know, most of these people were there, went through it, stayed with it. That wasn't a big issue then, okay, because that's not the first time that came up. But it seemed to be the catalyst. They used that as the excuse, whereas I believe the excuse was they didn't want to show love to these people that wanted to participate in Passover services in Mobile. See, in verse 11 it says, truth springs out of the earth, and righteousness has looked down from heaven. Yes, Yahweh will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. And we know righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. But you know what? It goes even beyond that, because love is so important in our faith. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, I only have one more scripture after this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it gains me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not his own, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And that's where we are, brethren. We have to understand the truth of Yahweh is so important, and that's why we do what we do, every aspect of keeping his covenant law. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It endures. Love endures. It keeps going. It's not going to be broken down by Satan, because if we love the brethren, we're going to love them through all of their problems. See? Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in the mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now these three live, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And we're going to turn to Isaiah 66 for the closing passage. Isaiah 66. Verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says Yahweh. So we know that Yahweh looks at the new moon as well as the Sabbath, very importantly. See? So it's up to us to do the same. This is why we come together, and this is why we verify the new moon, and this is why we blow the trumpet as we're commanded to, because Yahweh is teaching us to walk in truth. And this is what we want to do in being faithful to Almighty Yahweh. Okay, at this time, I want to ask Willie if he would, with a word of prayer.
Let's humble ourselves. Father Yahweh, we give you thanks and praise for an opportunity to get together with brothers who lack precious faith. To come together on this new moon day, Father, to stand in tune with your covenant and your laws and your statutes, Father. We know all the things that you set before us leads to the kingdom, Father. It's all done for a reason. Enable us to realize, Father, that if we continue on this straight and narrow pathway, we will one day enter into your kingdom, Father. But we must obey. We must continue in truth and in knowledge. And once again, Father, on this day, we ask that you to bless our sister Carol, that you would relieve her from pain and strengthen her, bring them back together again to worship with brothers who lack precious faith. And Father, we give you thanks once again for this day and for brothers all over, that you will keep them humbly under your wings, Father. In Joshua's name, we give you thanks. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.